Welcome to the H2MMO Podcast, video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer. This is a test of the emergency podcast system. If this had been an actual emergency, we'd be gone, bitches! Welcome to the first inaugural episode zero test of the H2MMO podcast. My name is Mike B. I am the editor at H2MMO.com. With me today, we have Trish B. She's our blog administrator and sometimes blogger.
Hello.
And we also have Brett S. He's our lead blogger at H2MMO.
Hola.
And then we have Brandon, who is just another avid gamer. And maybe one day we'll get him to blog for us. Brandon?
Yeah, I can do that sometime.
Oh, okay. Thanks for saying hi.
Hello.
Hey, for effort.
And we're kind of excited about this because this is our first test podcast, and we're going to cover everything that we got for Christmas. This is going to be our post-Christmas extravaganza, and we're going to start talking about some games. But first off, how is everybody? Trish, how are you?
I am wonderful today. How is everybody?
I'm good.
Brandon?
Not too bad over here. taking care of kids and playing games.
Awesome. That's what we like to do.
I'm good because I'm not taking care of kids.
Well, let's jump into what did we get for Christmas? Brandon, did you get any good video games for Christmas?
Not for Christmas, but I've been on vacation now for about 2 weeks and found a few good free games that I can talk about.
All right, well, just go ahead and give us the titles.
The first one is Perfect World International, and the other one is... what is it? League of Legends, which Mike got me into.
Oh, so. Well, there we go. All right, and that's about it for you on the video game front?
We can also talk about Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Oh, did you pick up a copy of that?
Well, I read that before my 360 died.
That's another... Okay, quit playing with your microphones, people.
Actually, I got it from my brother.
Brett, what about you? What did you get for Christmas?
Well, for Christmas, I got that giant new TV that I am in love with and I want to marry. But, you know, gaming-wise, my Christmas was last month when, I guess 2 months ago in November, when every game came out that I wanted to play.
That was a good month.
That was a great month. I mean, we had Modern Warfare 2, we had Left 4 Dead 2, we had, what else did we have? We had new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yay!
That game's amazing. I played that last night with a friend of mine. We had Resident Evil, Dark Side Chronicles, I got that. Brutal Legend came out, Borderlands came out. I mean, all those games came out in November, so... Actually, no, Borderlands came out like the day before November, but we'll count that.
It was almost as if the publishers were, I don't know, setting something up for Christmas.
Setting up something for a holiday of some sort in December, I don't know.
All right, well, that's awesome. Trisha, anything you were excited about for Christmas?
Well, yeah, Super Mario Brothers for the Wii.
That was it.
And I'm too busy working on getting Emblems of Triumph.
In the World of Warcraft?
In the World of Warcraft for that 232 gear.
The World of Warcraft. We're going to talk about that, too.
I've never heard of this game. What is this game that nobody knows about?
The World of Warcraft?
We should elaborate on this game that nobody's ever played.
It's some kind of MMORPG. You know what? It's one of the things that we've taken a lot of flack from people who have... looked at the site, and by the way, if you're listening to this and you want to email us, our email address is h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. Feel free to send us comments, tell us, you know, how horrible the podcast is and what we can do to make it better. We'll promptly ignore that email and move on to one that's like, hey, we love you guys.
Yeah, any love letters to Brett S. you can send to the blog as well. So
okay, there we go. So Brett's putting himself out there.
Yep.
but we've taken a lot of flack because we haven't had a lot of MMO talk. And one of the reasons why we set up the H2MMO blog is we've got a couple of experiments going on. One is we're pre-guilding for Star Wars, so we're trying to collect as many people together as we can, and we're going to start Star Wars like in the first 2 weeks with just a massive group of people all on the same server. We're going to play both sides for a little while. We're going to pick which side everybody seems to like. We're going to try to be democratic about this. And by democratic, I want to play a Republic trooper. So if they all want to play Sith, I'm not going to get my wish. We're going to do that. I've got some filming stuff set up. I've been filming a little bit of WoW and putting some scripted voiceovers to it. A lot of people are making movies on the interwebs about how to do this and how to do that. And what you get is little tiny videos, some horrible soundtrack that I'm sure that they didn't pay royalties for, and they just, you know, snatched it, you know, off the internet and stuck it in their video, and some little subtitles. And, you know, what's the point of doing that if we have all this technology? If we could have full video with game sound, a voiceover that's been scripted, get our timing down, and have a video that shows you how to do something that talks you through the process, as opposed to, I don't know, just being something that some 12-year-old kid put together, you know, in their off time. So that's one of the things that we've got coming up in the future. Then that's why we've got the how-to MMO angle on the website. So that's that. Let's start talking about some games. Like, Brett, okay, here's my Christmas list. Assassin's Creed 2, I got that for the PlayStation 3.
Best game of the year, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Wow, I got Avatar.
Movie was awesome.
The movie was good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
I got Borderlands, because you got me hooked on that. And then I got Brutal Legend, and Trish got Super Mario Brothers for the Wii. So let's go ahead, let's talk about Assassin's Creed. I got the first one in anticipation of the second one, and I started playing the first one, and the first one is pretty damn neat. I mean, when you look at the game, there's a lot of a wide angle, high, you know, up on a tower, looking at, you know, ancient Jerusalem or what have you, and the cinematography, for lack of a better word, is awesome. You run around, you kill people. It's got a pretty good story. One of the voice actors that plays the head of the Assassin's Guild is actually the same guy that plays Duncan in Dragon Age Origins. And it's a pretty damn good game. And now they've come out with two, and it's supposed to be even better. So, Brett, tell us why.
Well, the first game was a good game. It was enjoyable. I really liked it. But it was only, let's say it was a B-rated game. You know, it was good. Not great. I mean, it was pretty fun, but the second game improved on the original in every way. I mean, the graphics were okay. They were slightly better. They weren't, you know, they had more impressive viewpoints, at least when you're scaling walls and, you know, looking at the cities and things. And let's face it, you know, the cities of Italy are way more awe-inspiring than friggin', you know, Middle East. at least that's what, you know, most people seem to think.
Mm-hmm.
The music, the soundtrack was phenomenal. I was talking to one of the people in my group last night for New Year's about it, and it's just that, you know, amazing. I mean, I listen to the soundtrack sometimes just for fun. The gameplay was ridiculously better. The combat system was fantastic in the first one, but this one, you know, just added to it. The counters were more fun. They were more brutal. You can actually disarm enemies this time and, you know, use their weapon against them. You know, just there were much more gameplay elements as well, which just added to the game. And of course, the story was just, you know, just a marked improvement.
Well, you're playing the same guy in the present as you did in the first game, right?
And you visited. You know, it goes through another ancestor's DNA sequence. So, and this time around, you know, the first game started out, you were already an assassin, and that was, you just kind of regained your abilities and things as you went along. And this one, actually, you go through the character's, Ezio's, life. You know, he starts off as a teenager, and you go throughout until, I think it spans like 25 years, and, you know, he trains, he becomes an assassin, and it's all about him just trying to exact revenge on the people that killed his family. So,
okay,
and
that's
not really it. Oh,
so,
sorry. Go ahead.
So he starts out as a whiny teenager, and he's bugging his dad for money so he can go to the movies. And then he learns to be an assassin, and he just picks his dad's pocket and takes the money.
That's a fever dream, I think, on your part. But no, he starts out. You know, he starts out as he's a likable character from the get go. That's why I liked playing him so much. You know, he starts off like your typical Italian, you know, stereotype. He's whining and dining women left and right, and he's just kind of hot-headed and getting into fights. And for some reason, I really like that about him at first. So,
and he walks up to people and he goes, "It's Mario! Let's go!"
There was that part that I told you about where he meets his Uncle Mario, and his Uncle Mario says, don't you remember who I am? It's a me, Mario." And I wish I was making that up. I really do.
That's too funny. Well, that's like in Uncharted 2, when you're in the town in Nepal, and you're on top of this hotel, and it's been this epic sequence to get to the top of this hotel, and you're looking for this temple that you have to go to, and you have Nathan Drake and then the dark-haired chick that's voiced by Claudia Black, and if you jump in the pool and swim around for a little bit, he starts going, "Marco, Marco," and then she's like, "Get out of the pool," and he's like, "Marco," so he finally goes, "Polo," and then you get like 5,000 gold or $5,000 and an achievement or a trophy or something. It's just kind of silly. Okay, well, let's who has seen the movie Avatar?
Me.
Not I.
Well, I know you did. Took you.
That's a plan for this weekend for the missus and me.
Well, Trish, what did you think of the movie?
I think it was awesome. I was kind of getting ready for another disappointment after making it so big kind of thing. And then when we go in and the graphics were wonderful. I mean, the CGI was awesome. And the story was great. And it made me now when I watch you play the game, wow, I remember that part from the movie, or, you know.
Yeah.
So it made the game more exciting.
It did. It was a good story. The technology was, like, fantastic. Sam Worthington, who played the lead guy, Jake Sully, he did a good job. I don't remember the actress's name who played the lead female, but she did a good job as well.
Was that Chloe Saldana?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was Uhura in Star Trek.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And yes. What else did she play in that I told you the other day we saw? I can't remember right offhand.
I'm not sure. But so the movie was great. We went and saw the movie. It was really long. We saw it like Christmas Eve. You know, the cinematography, everything about the film was just, it was fantastic. It was a very Dances with Wolves type storyline.
Christmas Day, my dear.
And it was Christmas Day?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But so we really enjoyed the movie, and then it turns around on Christmas, I got, you know, Avatar, the video game. So I played that. I put that in, and I played that, and I was expecting like kind of the same experience from the video game as I got from the movie. Now we all know that like any time that they come out with a video game that's related to a movie, I think except for Wolverine, every single one of them has been a big steaming turd. I don't think there's been an exception to that. Can any of you guys?
Over the past few years, I can think of some, but in general, the past, you know, recently, there haven't been any good ones, so.
Right, so I put this in, and the video game starts you out, you can, I think there's like 12 or 15, you pick from these appearances, the humans, and then they have to have a corresponding Navi avatar appearance as well, so, there's a child squealing in the background.
She must be playing Super Mario Brothers.
There we go.
No, there'd be a lot more cussing if she was. At least if she's playing with somebody else.
So, I picked this little, I guess, Asian-looking chick. And the reason why I did it was because of how her avatar looked. How her Navi person looked. And so you start playing, and you do a few missions as this marine person or working for the corporation or what have you, and so they got some pretty nifty gadgets. They've got machine guns and grenades and all kinds of stuff and vehicles, and you're running around and you're kind of just fighting the little dogs, the little black dogs from the film, and it gets to a point where you lay down in your little the link chamber, and then you become an avatar and you do some very simple missions. And it quickly develops to the point of where one of the researchers is a mole. I'm trying not to give too much away. And you have the choice of you can either stop him or join him. Well, of course, I joined him just to see, you know, because that was the story. I had just seen the story. So I joined him, and then, so you become an avatar. Or you become a Navi. So there are elements from this movie in the video game, but they're not, you don't get that same feel. Ooh, what was that? You don't get that same feel as... The film was very... Okay, who's echoing?
What is that? Yeah.
I don't know, somebody's echoing. The film was very epic, and the video game is not epic at all, and the story is not, doesn't feel very epic so far. I guess I'm just under 10 hours or so in. And it, the gameplay is not bad. The character controls are a little clunky. Flying on one of those big, they call them banshees. It's a big reptile-looking thing, pterodactyl. Flying one of those is, you know, I play a lot of WoW. Everybody who knows me knows I play a lot of WoW, so I'm used to flying in WoW. And I will fly in WoW at the drop of a hat. But the controls in Avatar are really clunky. You get on that damn thing, and it's just like, how do I get it to go straight? Like, oh, how do I slow down, speed up? And the buttons are very simple, but it, just the feel of it's very clunky. And then you get the same thing when you're on foot as you did in Uncharted 2, which is the character wants to run all the time, never wants to walk, and you skid to a stop every time you stop. And it's really hard to kind of position yourself sometimes. Somebody give that child a pancake. We're trying to do a podcast here.
You already had a pancake.
Okay, so that's Avatar. I think at Metacritic it came out like, I don't know, in 84 or something like that. And so it's the final verdict on Avatar is it is not a steaming turd, but it ain't Assassin's Creed 2 either.
I would say for a movie game, it's probably done pretty well then, or at least it was made pretty well if it's got an 84 of 100.
Well, you know what? I never played Wolverine, but I heard Wolverine was actually, like...
Oh, yeah. No, that was very good. That was amazing. I was very surprised. You know, I heard the movie was terrible. I heard the movie was terrible. I hadn't seen the movie yet. I played the game, and I played the game all throughout the whole... I mean, several days, I beat it because it was so fun. So...
Just go put your mic on mute and go beat the children.
It is. That's it. It's on mute. I don't know why it's stuck here. It's on mute.
I don't. What are they doing? Are they playing with all their Christmas toys?
I think their mother's harassing them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's
well, so she
good.
Should be playing video games, not harassing the children.
Yeah.
She has now.
Hero.
The Avatar. Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, yeah, no. Okay. That was a rhetorical hero.
Oh. So. The movie itself, from what I've seen so far and heard, it reminds me of the story called Call Me Joe by Paulo Anderson, science fiction back in 1957.
You were telling me about this.
So, I mean, it's the same concept. You've got a crippled Marine, and what they're doing, they're making artificial life forms and putting them onto Jupiter, and most people know that Jupiter's nothing but a giant ball of gas with a very, very small core under immense gravitational pressure. So basically, they're doing the same thing, and that's why I'm iffy to see this movie. You see how much he actually played into the same story.
What's the name of the author and the story?
Call Me Joe by Paul Anderson.
Yeah, I heard somebody else say this too.
P O U L.
P O U L. I think I've read some of his other stuff. Okay, all right, I got that written down. So we'll have to put that somewhere. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in reading that story now because of the link, and maybe that Cameron actually had read that or had heard about it from someone else. Q, was there anything else you wanted to say about the Call Me Joe?
Not really. It's not a long story. It's actually pretty short, about 30 pages or so.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really much to it in length, but it's just really... I really enjoyed it. It's one of the first ones I actually had to read for my for college. So, just whenever I first saw the Avatar preview, I'm like, this looks very familiar.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's talk about Super Mario Brothers for the Wii.
Haha! So much fun.
So I'm gonna go take a dump, and you guys can talk about this game.
Well, that's good to announce on the podcast. Thank you, listeners, for listening.
And if you know what, if you're listening for the first time and you don't know me, I like to talk about taking dumps a lot.
So that's just, not all he talks about.
You just put that in your little notebook. Save that one for later. And we'll have a little conversation.
Mike just scared off all our professional listeners.
But you said in Assassin's Creed they made a talking about the uncle. It's me and my Mario. Well, you know, if it wasn't for Super Mario, or if it wasn't for Mario Brothers and Nintendo in the first place, I don't think we'd be as far as we are with all the video games today. Because it was an awesome beginning. And it was like the big first one that everybody can move and jump and swallow stuff and spit it out, and good old Yoshi, and you know, I mean, spending hours up to 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and not wanting to go to bed just to play Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people have been swallowing and spitting for a long time.
Oh, all right, okay, all right. Gotta watch that. I don't know how they do ratings on here, but I'm sure we're already skating really close to the line.
Listen, you already pushed us to NC-17 when you talked about shitting, so I think we're okay.
I said I did not curse, Mr. Sure.
Actually, you did say. You said bitch.
Oh, right at the beginning. Whatever.
So,
okay, so everybody behave themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
PG here.
Okay, we're hitting the reset button.
We're past PG.
The misspelled reset button that Secretary of State Clinton gave to the Russians, because I'm sure they appreciate spelling errors. And
I think Brett's probably played Super Mario a little bit more than I have. I really haven't got to sit down and just Christmas Day, me, you, Sherman, messing around with it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can see, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it's
brings
great.
Back a lot of memories.
Well, talk a little bit about the game. I mean, is it, you know, there's been Paper Mario where you would go through the walls and the universe would flip, and of course everything Mario pretty much, except for the Mario Karts, is side-scrolling.
Yeah.
So what makes this any different than, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago?
Well, for one thing, I mean, the big difference is this is the first game in the Mario series where you can actually play, you know, at the same time on the same screen rather than doing it by turns. You know, for the first several Mario games, you took turns. You know, Mario dies and Luigi takes over. You know, this game you can have Mario, Luigi, and two Toads. Why they picked two mushrooms instead of other Mario characters, I don't know. But, you know, you can have four people on the same screen at the same time, and it's insane and hilarious and angering, and it's just a really great gameplay mechanic.
So you mean that Nintendo, for the Wii, came out with another game that could be considered a party game?
No, it's not a party game whatsoever. It's a very fun, you know, side-scrolling Mario game. It's one of the better games in the series, actually, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, but if you've got four people playing, how is that not a party game?
Well, a party game is typically consists of just stupid mini games. You know, your Mario Party, your WarioWare, your any Wii sports we play. You know, pretty much any game that's come out for the Wii at all is what I mean. You
so
know,
something
I
that you do for 10 minutes and then you pass the controller to somebody else and go back to
something.
The
you know, something you have a few drinks. Yeah, you have a few drinks and you start playing. That's typically what the Wii is known for. And yes, it's an opinion it's earned and it deserves. And I don't say that in a good way. I do love the Wii, but you know, it's a kids party game. You know, system, which is why a game like this comes along and it's refreshing because it's a game. For example, that Silent Hill game I was telling you about, the new one.
Uh-huh.
That's incredible. And because it's a game you can sit down and play for hours.
And it's for the Wii.
Yes. And that's also a Wii exclusive. But
what's the name again?
It's called Silent Hill Shattered Memories. I actually just blogged about it recently. No, I did not. I wrote it, but I have not submitted it yet. That'll probably be my next one.
This is why we're in the dark.
Yes. So, yes,
in the dark.
I told Mike about it, and he didn't really seem that interested in it when I told him.
You know what? And
there was no combat, so
well, that would be why. And the blog, if, in case I didn't say it at the top of the show, the blog is h2mmo.com.
Yes.
And I'm looking at it right now. Look, Brett Brett S's top 10 most underrated games of 2009. Because you can't have a new year without a top 10 list. Oh my exactly. God, look at the pictures.
Yeah, I decided to put a lot of pictures
wow.
in there. You know, we'll talk about it later, but I... Well, yeah, we'll talk about it later, but I had issues with the image library. We should probably discuss that outside of the podcast.
Yeah, probably. But
you notice they're all bunched up together.
You know what? I think that's just the way that the image library works. But
yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But yes.
So.
But I am looking forward to playing more Super Mario Brothers. But you know, it's like, okay, do I need new gear? Does Mario need me? I mean, you know.
So many commitments to your little digital people, and so little time.
Oh, yeah, this is the four-player Mario, right? Where y'all can play through the stages together.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I tried to get some people to play like Christmas Day, but they were all like, "It's Christmas," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm playing with the toys," and they're like, "No, I don't want to do that."
And you didn't call us.
Well, I thought y'all were doing Christmas with y'all's families and stuff.
I thought there was going to be a problem using the Wii controller sideways.
Oh, yeah.
And there's really not once you learn the buttons.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
I am actually thinking about investing in going getting an old-timey controller, because they do make them for the Wii.
The classic controller does not work for the Mario games, so don't buy it.
That's just my luck. So I guess I'll stick with the new one.
Yes, the reason, and I thought, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. Why not? And then I realized it's because, you know, the Wiimote actually, you shake it and things like that in the game, and you actually have to tilt it for certain.
Oh, yes, yeah, you know what? H2MMO.com. We know more about video games than most people have learned in their lifetimes.
Yes. Sadly, it mostly comes from me, too, because I have not Yeah, but that. Don't buy it. I actually have one of the classic controllers because I've downloaded some of those WiiWare games, like the Virtual Console games. You know, the old Nintendo, Super Nintendo games.
Yeah,
it's worth it to buy. It's just, you know, don't get it for that.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said something.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, let's go to Borderlands now. Borderlands, Brett, you first turned me on to this, and I'm not a big first-person shooter guy. Because I like the third-person perspectives, where I'm looking over the shoulder of whatever tune or character that I'm playing. And I rented it after you did your write-up and talked about it, and then I got it for Christmas. I put that on my Christmas list because I had to have it. And I've been playing that, too, since Christmas, and it is like... I just... Yeah, viva la shooting stuff.
Yeah, it's again one of my favorite games of the year. I first heard about it and I thought this sounds like a rip off of Fallout 3. You know, you have your post-apocalyptic world, you have your first-person shooter RPG combination, you have people coming out of vaults. I mean, I thought this sounds ridiculous, but I started hearing about it and I thought, wow, customizable guns. You know, a really great looting system. You know, the more I heard about it, the more I liked it. And I rented it when it first came out because I didn't want to. I was like, I don't want to buy it, you know, because I don't know if it's going to be any good, even as excited as I am. I rented it, and then the same night I went out and bought it because I knew I wasn't going to be playing it for just 5 days.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something about how much fun it is.
You know, it's I'm playing, I guess there are four character classes. You can play a sniper, you can play a big guy, a berserk.
Brute.
Berserker, people. Sorry. I don't know what he's called. Chick.
The siren.
Does she sing at people? I don't know. Like,
no, she's kind of like, she's got invisibility and telekinesis or something. She's the least played character of mine. I played the soldier the most. He was my favorite.
Yeah, then the soldier's the fourth one. So you can play, you know, they've got four different characters. And then you can jump online and invite other people to your game, and the monsters get tougher, like back in Diablo.
Yes, exactly.
Diablo 2. And, there are more, like, every time you kill something, ammo or money or a randomly generated weapon drops off of it. And if that's not an excuse to just run around and plug everything that you see, I don't know what is. So, I've got a bunch of blue and purple guns, and
Yeah.
I just run around and shoot stuff. It's awesome. And it's very engaging just because you want to go finish that next mission to see what you're going to get or level up or get a new point for your skills because you have skill trees, you know, or you want to go find, you know, some Billy badass monster out there and pump as many bullets into him as you can until he falls over dead and drops his pretty gun. And
yeah.
It is just, I wouldn't say it's mindless fun, but man, it's close.
I would say it's pretty mindless because, you know, there's really no story to speak of. It's kind of, you're kind of just put on a planet, you know. You're here to find a vault. Have fun.
It's got,
you
know, that's, yeah, it's got lots of nifty stuff in it. Go find it.
While we're
so
on
how many players?
You can play up to four at the same time.
Online.
Yes.
Split screen. Here's one complaint that I have, is that the split screen, at least on my TV, kind of sucks. Like, you can't see anything, and I don't know, I think that's probably the perspective, because when you play split screen on a shooter, I know at least back in Battlefront or whatever, it drew back a little bit, so that you could see, you know, more of your character and more of the stuff around you. So you didn't get that feeling that you were boxed in. But the split screen is not my favorite. I haven't tried the online stuff because I'm old and I'm old-fashioned and I don't want to play online with a bunch of screaming 12-year-olds. I do like the solo campaign. It's really, really fun and awesome, and it just keeps going and going and going and going and going, and apparently you can play through it two or three times.
Twice, you have two opportunities to do that, and the second time they get ridiculously hard. The enemies, I mean, I'm still not even far at all on the second playthrough.
Cool.
But while we're talking about Borderlands, you know, they have the two downloadable content expansions out right now. The first one being the Zombie Island of Dr. Ned, which is as funny as it sounds. And that's the thing I like about the game too, is it's actually really funny. I mean, it's really funny if you listen to the characters just talk, and you know, you have a half retarded redneck and the guy that sells you cars and gives you cars.
Scooter.
I love Scooter. Scooter's hilarious.
Come get you some.
Yeah, this is where the cars live. Everyone loves zombies. I don't, you know, or they hate them, but mostly people love them. People who hate zombies are communists, as you know.
Yes.
You know, it's all about zombies, and it's a whole different change in the scenario. It's not wastelands. It's swamplands, and it's not much better to look at. But I mean, it's a nice change of pace. And it was $10 for a gameplay experience that took me a few hours, and you know, to beat. And it was a lot of fun. Just, you know, and the second one, which I can't play because, again, broken 360. Came out on the 29th, which is something about Mad Moxie or Mad Moxie's something or other, but it's basically a Mad Max parody where you're in like a Thunderdome type deal.
Well, they're before you get to the town of New Haven,
yeah.
They have the whole like big ring, and you're in the car, and there's Mad Mel,
yeah.
So you got to go kill Mad Mel. So they do a lot of plays like that, and they're really funny because they're doing the post-apocalyptic Mad Max kind of world, and they're just ripping on, you know, this, that, and the other as fast as they can go.
Yeah, it's called Mad Moxie's Underdome Riot.
There you go.
I had to look it up. I'm smart.
Did you use the interwebs? That's cheatery.
You're cheatery.
That you're supposed to have everything prepared before we do the podcast, because we all know I do.
Boy, that's nice. I just got a random call for this thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Were they trying to sell you pills to make your thing work better?
No, I found out this morning when I woke up.
Oh, okay. Oh.
PG!
Yeah. PG! Tone it down there, buddy. Whoa, Seabiscuit.
It was a Skype call or Skype message trying to sell stuff.
Okay. So you got the random spam when you first... See, I put it on private. That's what I do. Nobody can mess with me.
I didn't know there was even a private option. I've never got any calls. That's weird.
Oh, no. They'll get you like, call now, $15 an hour. Like, oh, anyway.
Oh, sign me up. I mean, wait, no.
I don't think I need Viagra.
I can just get my wife to talk dirty to me. Like, take out the trash. That's dirty talk.
Yeah.
All right, well, the last one on my list that I have is Brutal Legend, which I got for Christmas. Of course, everybody knows it's got Jack Black in it. It's an RPG. You're a roadie for a band, and something happens, and of course you get transported to another world. Because that is the setup for every freaking fantasy book that starts in our world. from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon in the 80s to, like, oh my god, I've read so many novels with this storyline. Anyway, so, yeah. But he goes to a rock and roll world, and I guess he plays heavy metal at people until they die. I don't know. It's supposed to be very funny. It's supposed to be, graphically very amazing, and I just haven't had time to play it yet.
So your cool wife got you, like, 4 video games for Christmas?
Hell yeah, my wife rocks.
Okay, next.
All right.
My wife got me a divorce.
Oh!
See, it's funny, because our listeners don't know that I'm not really divorced, but I'm not, so it was a joke. Anywho,
okay, so that's it on my list. Maybe one other one, Dragon Age Origins. There's been a little bit of controversy about this one. I really liked it. Another friend of ours, Sam, did not like it. His brother-in-law did like it, and that was all on the PlayStation 3. Brandon, you've played Dragon Age Origins on the PC.
Yes.
And then, Brett, you played it on the 360.
Yes.
So the 360, you said the graphics sucked.
No, they didn't. Well.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You said sucked.
They were not that impressive. They looked like an old Xbox game. Okay, now the terrain and things like that looked like an old Xbox game. The characters were pretty polished, but... There were weird inconsistencies with the textures and things like that that I didn't understand.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Because I didn't see any of that when I played in the PlayStation. Now, what I did see was that when you are full on in battle and you've got your 4 party members against 4 or more dark spawn or what have you, and you've got mages in the party and you've got full spell effects, like every now and then the PlayStation will be like, fight, 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 and it'll have that little lag in there because it's trying to process all these pretty little particle effects. And oh my god, the days of a lightning bolt spell being a tiny little line of blue shooting across the screen are long gone, because this thing lights up like a Christmas tree when you go into battle. It's insane. Brandon, what did you see with the graphics on the PC?
Oh, the PC, it was actually really good. I mean, the PC, you've got a lot more options there to change your graphics settings and things like that. But, no, overall it was really great. I love the control layout for it. It's much easier to work than I saw how for the PlayStation worked.
Uh-huh. But yeah, the PlayStation has... And I guess the Xbox, too, I'm not real sure, has that radial wheel. So right in the middle of combat, yeah. You can hit one of your fat trigger buttons and a radial wheel comes up, it pauses, and you go through a million options. So, all right, well, story-wise, what did you guys think?
Oh, the story was great. It was very engaging, very, you know, drew you in a lot, so.
Brandon?
It was, storyline was good. They made all the storylines about the same. They're all somewhat morbid in some way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? And there's some choices that they have in there, too. That, like with all BioWare games, there are characters that you don't like that are stuck in your party. Just cranky, cantankerous, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Contrary. You're like, hi, good morning, and this other tune's like, no. And so there are characters that you don't like, and that relationship may or may not change over the course of the game, and then there are decisions that you can make in the game which are just morally ambiguous. Like, not to give too much of it away, but at one point in the game where I'm in Redcliff, you know, I choose to, you know, go ahead and use a blood mage and hop into the, what do they call that, the other side of magic. I don't know. The
veil?
Fade.
No.
The fade.
The veil, fade, yeah.
And the veil, yeah. So I use that, and I go in there, and then Brandon, you were telling me that there was another solution?
Yeah, you could you could actually go back to the Mage's Tower and get the Mage's come over and use their power to help you.
See, and that's what I'm trying on my second character now, is I'm actually trying to do that, and I haven't finished it. So yeah, it's morally ambiguous. So it's, you can make a choice to either, you know, kill a kid, kill the mom, or walk away from the whole thing for a while you go get help. So, like, each one of those is like, well, shit, like, what am I supposed to do? There's no good choice that's here, and the game is full of that. I thought it was really good. I thought Dragon Age Origin, the whole setup, could easily be translated into an MMO. An MMORPG, which has got me excited because, of course, BioWare did it, and they're also working on Star Wars The Old Republic.
And Mass Effect 2.
And Mass Effect. Is Mass Effect 2, that's going to be single player, right?
There may be co-op options they haven't announced yet, but they said for at least Dragon Age 2 and Mass Effect 3 will have co-op enabled of some sort.
But they're not going to make MMOs out of them yet.
Mass Effect will be a great MMO, but not yet, no.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, cool. Let's see here. Some of the... We're already like 40 minutes in, and we've still got to talk about Left 4 Dead 2. We've got to talk about Modern Warfare 2.
The upcoming games as well, and the MMOs.
Uh-huh. Oh, and of course your Red Ring of Death. So, you know what? Let's take a little break here.
Okay.
And then pick up in just a few minutes. My carry knife, my carry gun, never pulled them out except for fun. Well, man, Mom, Papa, you said to me, treat your fellow man just like you wanna be, son. And now I'm hearing million faces around, not gonna let it break me down or run. Oh, but I know, yes, I know. Like I should. I work all day, play all night, find a good woman and treat her right. Well, I loved her, she loved me, even though we agreed to disagree a ton. State my case, testimony's true, it's lost love and the loss of you. I know it's gonna get better. All right, I'll get free, man. Get better. All right. Okay, and we're back from our mid-podcast bio break. We've never had to take one of those when we play World of Warcraft. Not when you're in the middle of some epic dungeon and you're about to burst your pants because you've got to go to the restroom.
Oh, I've got to go wash the dishes.
Yeah, but yeah, because you are the queen of AFK, are you not?
That's my name.
So, now the Red Ring of Death. Now, Brett, you have an Xbox 360. Brandon, you have an Xbox 360.
Correct.
So, the good news is, Brandon, you've never had any problems with yours, right?
I have not.
Oh, cool. Well,
now, my brother, he's had three good Red Ring on him.
Three? Wow. Yep.
Now, I read an article in some gaming magazine somewhere that everybody gets when they buy a video game at this one store where they sell video games.
Would it be a... Never mind, I shouldn't even...
Yeah, it would be that one. It would be that one.
Would it be a stop for games? Would that be it?
It would be a resting point or a resting place, a kind of a warehouse for used video games. And you could get, you know, a club membership, and this magazine comes free with that. So a lot of us get that one. I mean, I actually read in there that the fail rate on the Xbox 360 was 54%. Mm-hmm. And that was based not on Microsoft's data, but on consumer data. And that is just horrible.
Yes, and mind you, that was as of August of this year. They have allegedly fixed the problem, and it's still 54%. That is asinine.
That's a really high drop rate.
That is.
So what happened with yours, Brett?
Well, I was actually trying to play a game with a friend of mine, actually Modern Warfare 2 online, and it just crashed. I mean, it just stopped working, and I thought, oh, that's weird. So I turned it back on, and sure enough, there were those three little red rings on the power supply button. And I thought, oh, great, well, that's okay. It's not like they just fixed it last year or anything. Oh, wait, no, they did fix it last year because I got the same thing last year. Yeah, so it's happened to me twice. I've had a 360 now for 3 months, you know, off and on, minus the times that it wasn't working. And it's happened twice. Now, here's the thing that irritates me is I'm going to get it back, and it's going to be repaired. And it's just going to happen again because they're not fixing them. They're not actually fixing them. They're temporarily solving the problem. You know, there's no actual... It's like the cold. You know, it goes away or you kick it off with antibiotics.
Hmm? What?
What?
Are you on the phone?
No.
Who are you talking to?
The voices.
We're just going to let that go there. So, and then Brandon, now, your brother Kevin has had three fail on him?
Correct. He sent two back, and then the third one, he just got tired and took it apart. And we fixed it ourselves.
Really?
Yes.
And what did you do? I mean,
not that we recommend this to any of our listeners.
No, avoid your warranty. So, don't do it.
Of course, if you don't have a warranty like I didn't have, because I had mine for 3 years, then you're out of luck. But
so, basically what we did, now, you have to be very careful. There's specific ways to open these cases without breaking them. But once you get inside, it's got a laptop processor. And the biggest issue that we're finding is that the heatsink goo that they're using is crappy. So we went in, we cleaned it, and scraped around the actual processor itself, then put some real good fresh coating of a heatsink gel on there, and reset it, and it worked fine from there. We also fanned out the processor blades a little bit more to let more airflow through.
Mm-hmm.
And that one hasn't had a problem since.
But, you know, it almost sounds like that the guys at Microsoft need to sit down with the guys at, like, Alienware or some of the other, you know, big computer companies that spend a lot of time thinking about how the inside of their cases look and what they do in terms of heat reduction, and have a little conversation with them and, you know, figure out how to, like, get their heat sinks and their airflow and inside of their case fine so that their system just doesn't melt on you when you're playing a video game.
So the day of pulling the game out, blowing into the game, and putting it back in doesn't work anymore?
No.
You know,
not quite.
I've tried that on some of my CDs and my Blu-rays, and
oh my god!
I just So that is horrible. Now, I am the big 360 hater. I'm the big 360 hater, and a big proponent of the PlayStation 3. I've had a Sony console since they had Sony consoles. I had a PlayStation 1. I had a PlayStation 2. I've still got the PlayStation 2 and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of games for it. I've got a PlayStation 3. I've got a PSP. And, of course, my big thing was like, oh, they don't fail, they don't fail, they don't fail. And, of course, my cousin, Jose, on Thanksgiving, comes down to eat Thanksgiving dinner, and he's like, my PlayStation 3 just failed. He was so upset. And this is a problem that's not just, I mean, it doesn't belong to just Microsoft exclusively. There's some... maybe it's just this generation of technology. Maybe it's the fact that they're making everything in China, where they make the Chinese drywall. I don't know. But even the PlayStation has a fail rate. Now, it's a lot lower.
Yeah, I think it's about 10%, right?
Yeah, I had heard numbers upwards of 15, but it's nowhere near what Microsoft's is, and I can just go into a crowd at the airport and just point out people, like, oh, there's a guy who's Xbox just failed, and there's one, and there's one, and there's one. And it's much harder to do that with the PlayStation. But the fact that I don't remember ever hearing stories about the PlayStation 2 failing.
It happened. It happened to me.
Maybe it's just you.
It is me. I have had so many weird problems. I've had two Dreamcasts fail. I've had a PS2 fail. I've had a computer fail. I've had cameras fail. It's just me. It's my electromagnetic field or what have you.
It's the teenager in them.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like I usually keep good care of my stuff. I mean, the problem is, the more complex these machines get, the more problems they're going to have because I don't know. Yeah, and the appalling thing is, you made the joke about blowing into cartridges to fix them. There are still systems from the 80s that work.
Yes, I still have one. I still have the original Nintendo. Yeah.
You can't get a 360 to work for a year, but you can get a Nintendo to work for 25.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and this is another thing that we talked about recently is that we talk about Microsoft and Sony being the big two, and everybody talks about, next-gen consoles and Sony and Microsoft and billions of dollars. But if you look up any data on Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo... Nintendo has quietly been selling Mario since the video game industry began.
Yeah. Well, Kara's still playing her Nintendo, Super Nintendo. She still plays it in her room to this day.
Wait, I have the emulators on my PC.
Yeah.
And Nintendo has sold and made more money than any other video game. Hardware developer, software publisher, and you talk about, well, EA is the biggest software publisher in the world. No. Not over time. Not when you look at the entire history of the company. Nintendo has destroyed everyone, but not in a hateful way or anything like that. They're not trying to put anybody out of business, but they have just made more money than any of these other companies has even come close, and it's ridiculous.
And do you know why? Because they know what they're doing.
Well,
because they've had a consistent, Yeah, okay, there was that whole fiasco with Nintendo saying the internet gaming community is not a viable, thing for the future for Nintendo. And yeah, it bit them in the butt. However, they're still the top selling. The Wii sold more than the PS3 and 360 combined. Yeah. Over the past few years.
And when you jump on the Wii, you've got your news channel, and you've got your shopping channel. You got all of that stuff right there on your screen. You can put it there. You can configure it. And, that load up, the startup screen or the home screen just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So you can put as much stuff on there as you want. They are connected to the internet now. And it is not a system that I would consider for serious gaming.
No.
And I don't think they care.
No, they don't. They know exactly what their niche is in the market,
Yeah.
Well, the Wii Fit's kicking Yeah. I mean, it's just a big thing, and it's going to be a big thing for January with everybody with a resolution, you know, New Year's resolutions. And it's a family oriented for a lot of people that have families and want to play video games with their kids.
Yeah, and that silly Wii Fit, man, it'll tell you, like, well, so-and-so in your family hasn't gotten on in 2 days. Maybe you should encourage them to exercise.
Well,
and
it told me that day that you were tired and you needed more sleep. And that I should do something about that.
I think that was just random, but it was funny. And it was actually true.
And it was funny. And then that one time I told when I was doing
vitals.
Yeah, and I was doing so well one time, you know, with it, and it told you to congratulate me, and you got on. It's a lot of fun. The kids love it, and I think adults love it. And yes, you might sit down and decide you want to play Assassin's Creed 2, but if you look across the room and you saw a bunch of people playing the bowling, you want to jump in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they don't. I haven't heard of any appreciable fail rates for the Wii.
That's 6%.
6%. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very acceptable. You know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, I've never known anyone who's had problems with their Wii. You know.
I knew a guy one time, and he went to the doctor, and he got some stuff.
you told me you wouldn't tell anyone about that.
I'm sorry. That's the obligatory double entendre for the Wii. Well, okay, so when are you getting your system, when are you getting your 360 back?
Oh, I wish I knew. It's been in repair status for 3 days now. I don't know if they're just not working on it, or if they're on holiday, or if it's taking that long. The first time I sent it back, it was about 2 hours when they said they were repairing it, and then they sent it to me. So I think the holidays is just screwing it up. I should have it back by the end of next week, so let's say Thursday or Friday, if things go well. And I'm going to be getting the PlayStation 3 at some point, probably mid-January. But yeah, this past week or so, has just been like, I've been so bored out of my skull. I bought a game, I beat it, and I'm still, you know.
Well, you've still got your PC, right? Well,
yeah.
Duh, we're on Skype.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about Torchlight for a second. Torchlight is a Diablo clone.
I would even say it's a Diablo killer, or it has the potential to be a Diablo killer. At least Diablo 1 or 2. Diablo 3 is probably going to make it look like a retarded little kid. But, it's you know, the makers are called, I think, Runic Games, and they've been making Diablo-type games for years. I think there was Mythos, there was Mythos 2, it's actually comprised of a lot of people from the original Diablo team, the first game.
Yeah.
Which of course that means it's you know, it's a quality set of people. So you know, it's a lot like the original Diablo. You're in a town and you go throughout the different levels of dungeons, and you have three different characters you can choose from, and you know, you got the nice thing is it's kind of like Industrial Revolution era. So it's got, you have bow and arrows, but you still have like muskets and you know, rifles.
I haven't gotten it yet. I think I'm gonna maybe download it onto Trisha's computer and play it over there, because she's got the quad core.
Yeah.
And more hard drive space than I do. But it's supposed to be a very good game, and it's supposedly a loot fest.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I'm kind of interested in seeing that, because Diablo and Diablo 2, Diablo 2 was such a big hit. Everybody loved it. Everybody's waiting for Diablo 3, but of course the you know, Blizzard's motto is, we will publish no game before it's time.
Yeah.
And this is a nice kind of tide you over game. It's not expensive. How much does it run for, Brett?
I want to say it's 25. 20 to 30, let's say.
So, yeah. So it's a nice, acceptable, you know, price range for a small game. And, you know, Brandon, do you remember that one that we played years ago, like when Final Fantasy Online first came out, and it was, you were in a spaceship and you had that little robot dude and you ran around and killed stuff? It was kind of like a Diablo clone. I know you remember it. I just can't remember the name.
We were actually just talking about that last week. $20, it is. Torchlight. We were talking about that last week, and I couldn't remember what it was called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I've got it.
And the name of the tune was the Gladiator or something? I don't know. It was a little robot. I mean, anyway, so that was another type. It was very simple. The game wasn't nearly long enough, and it was just awesome. It was just a run-in, kill stuff, loot fest, come back to the shop, upgrade your weapons, and then go back and get some more.
Was it Space Siege?
No.
I don't. Yeah.
I'll go find out. I've got it in my other room.
Oh, really? Wow.
I think I do.
Oh, okay.
Be right.
Well, while we're doing that, we are going way over time. I think we just hit like the almost. We're coming up on the hour mark right now. Modern Warfare 2 and Left 4 Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. Modern Warfare 2 was, you know, it was just like playing a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. It's you know, the story was great, but it was so fast paced and so, you know, there were some plot holes, and the first one's story was better, but the game itself was just a much better. It was all about the scripted sequences instead of the story this time around.
Sorry, I'm back.
Okay, and did you find the game?
Harbinger.
Yes. Harbinger.
Yes.
So here we go. And that was who did that?
I didn't look that up, but hang on.
Harbinger, like that game.
Time for the interweb.
Was awesome. I wish it had been much, much longer. And I'm assuming that Torchlight is in that same vein. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Torchlight was, you know. Yeah, it's all about your looting and your dungeon crawling. But Modern Warfare 2, you know, like I said, it was very very fast-paced, very action-oriented. Not so much on the story this time around, but they definitely built it up for a sequel, which, you know, I'm looking forward to quite a bit. You know, the thing is, they went mostly for multiplayer this time around, and they have a new mode called Special Ops, which is basically like you just do little challenges and missions, and you can play alone, and you can play with friends. There are certain things designed for friends. Those are amazing. Those were a lot of fun. You know, you have, like, there's one mission where you're, you know, one person's on the ground trying to get to a checkpoint, an escape point, and then one person's in a helicopter just blasting down, raining down destruction on the bad guys. You know, things like that where they're made specifically for co-op were just a lot of fun. But I didn't really go online and play it, so I didn't get the same experience that other people got. So,
well, here's what I've heard with the online, the multi-online. Mm-hmm. So in the first one, whenever you leveled up, you know, you got access to more guns and what's called perks. These are how you can set up your character on what he carries, like C4, steady aim, increased piercing, and things like that. So that's how the first one went. Now, with the second one, they changed it up quite a bit on how you can enhance your perks. So you actually can level up the perks. So they do additional things instead of getting one perk, and here he is, it's constant all the way through. So you can just focus on one perk, make it stronger, plus you get your guns as you level and things like that. So they did do some changes to it to make the game a little more interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
But what about, echo.
Yeah, there it is.
Alright, so is that it for, like, Modern Warfare 2? I know the online stuff is big, and I know all the Xbox 360 heads are just Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 2. Even guys at work, like, that don't play, like, you know, all the RPGs and everything else, they bought Modern Warfare 2. And my cat has just jumped up on my table and attacked me.
Good kitty.
But,
cats are jerks.
Yeah. Well, when they want attention, they want attention.
Yeah.
Now I'll let the other four out and see what happens.
All right, so Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh,
yeah. Who? I guess Brandon, you played it, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah, I played a couple of days worth of it, and I enjoyed the crap out of it. Of course, again, I was playing it when my 360 died, so didn't get the whole experience.
Did you play this by yourself, or was someone else helping you?
Unfortunately, yes. I didn't know anyone who had it, and I refused to go online and play with idiots who will complain and mine the whole time. But yeah, I play by myself, and yeah, the bots are just complete idiots. You know, they don't know what the hell to do. But the game itself was a much better game than Left 4 Dead 1 in all aspects.
Yes. Now,
well, there was some controversy that they were publishing. I don't know who publishes this or develops it, but they were saying that they were publishing Left 4 Dead 2. It was a gimmick. It was a come on. It was a way to get more money out of gamers. That they hadn't gone through the life cycle for Left 4 Dead 1 yet, and that they were already coming out with a sequel, and some people were a little upset.
Yeah.
Now,
and they had the right to be. They had the right to be because, yes, they had promised, you know, probably years worth of content and maintenance Okay, and then a year later, the game the sequel came out. However,
yeah, that was fast.
Yeah.
Okay. However,
yes, this game is. They still have been releasing content for Left 4 Dead. They released one, I think, about a month before Left 4 Dead 2 came out, and it was supposed to be pretty good. And they have more planned. And yeah, Left 4 Dead 2 was a better game in every conceivable way. It, you know, much different gameplay. Well, much more gameplay types, I guess. You know, the inclusion of melee weapons was amazing.
Oh yeah,
it's so fun to just walk around with like a Shaun of the Dead cricket bat and just destroy zombies. Or, and they have it too. You know,
don't forget the Gibson guitar.
Oh yeah, the guitars. Yeah.
Damn straight. And, you know, walk around with a guitar and beat a zombie in the head.
Yeah, there's nothing like decapitating a zombie with a guitar. That's special.
Yeah, that's when you get your shred on.
Even
no,
the
that's,
levels.
That's a chainsaw.
Yeah, there's a chainsaw.
Oh God.
You know, more weapons and more levels. Different level types too. I mean, they were actually like there was one, and Brandon, you probably played it, where you're actually running through a friggin' hurricane.
Oh, that's...
No, I haven't played that chapter yet.
It takes that place in New Orleans, too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. There's a point where, you know, and I didn't expect it at all. You're trying to get back to, like, the ship that you... Like, you go to get gas for the ship, and then you come back to the ship, and that's the whole thing. That's the whole campaign.
Yeah.
And, like, the second-to-last level is... You're walking through a hurricane. You know, you can't see, and it's storming, and there's wind blowing things around, and zombies are attacking you, and it was crazy. I mean, it was a very cool, you know, gameplay experience for me. So,
is there an Al Roker zombie in the hurricane level?
Maybe. I mean, I couldn't really see him because, you know, you can't really see the zombies until they're up in your face and you're shooting them in the eye. But, you know,
yeah, that's how most of the game is. It's very dark.
Yeah,
it's done at night. They're in dark areas. You got to use a flashlight, which has, you know, limited visibility as is.
Yeah. There was for those listeners or players familiar with the witches from Left 4 Dead, everyone hates those little hookers. There's a whole level that you have to, like, you're still fighting zombies and stuff, but there's a whole level where there's a cornfield full of witches that you have to get through.
Wow.
That was insane. I actually managed to get through it without spooking any of them, but man, you know, they stepped it up in terms of cool little things like that, you know. So yeah, I'll probably actually buy it.
What difficulty did you play?
Oh, well, I'm not familiar with the actual names, but it was the, I guess, normal.
Normal.
Easy, medium, hard, and then, you know, extra hard. I played on normal, so.
Yeah, there's normal, there's hard, and there's insane. So, yeah. First try to, I went to insane. Bad mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't play insane unless you have a full four individual players, friends playing with you.
Yeah, and they have to be veterans, pretty much.
Yeah, you can't do it. Even playing two-player with two PC on normal, it's difficult.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a friend-oriented game.
Wow. We're getting some echo again. Somebody better check their Skypes. Okay, well, that's our whole... So that was Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, let's, now for the rest of the show.
Oh. Yeah.
Got another 4 hours worth of content now.
Okay, oh, so, we do. Haven't gone over LOL yet.
Oh, no. League of Legends. Well, actually, you know what? I don't know if we should save that for next time because, like, we're way, way over. And we've still got some stuff to get through. So why don't we save that one for next time?
Okay.
That'll give us something to talk about. So, because we both play, and that'll give us a little bit more time to develop in the game. So yeah, let's look forward to that, League of Legends. For some stuff that we have coming up in this next year, Brett, you want to do this?
Yeah, there's a lot actually. Pardon me, I'm losing my voice apparently. You know, there's the next 3 months itself. Why is Adobe Illustrator popping up on my machine?
Because you have to update.
Yeah, that's not irritating at all. You know, you have, I mean, January, the thing I'm excited most about is Mass Effect 2. I've been looking forward to that for 2 years.
And there's my regret. Like, my two big, or three big regrets, because I don't have a 360, is Mass Effect.
But you can play on PC.
Well, yeah, but I've got an older PC. I'm going to have to get it on.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, guess what you're getting for your birthday?
And what am I getting for your birthday?
Mass Effect 2.
But
we're looking forward to Army of Two, the 40th day.
Oh, yeah.
Or, as we like to call it, Army of Two.
Yeah, that's going to be... Oh, yeah, that was another game that the demo had actually come out for that. But again, my 360 died. So, not that I'm focusing on it or anything like that. I didn't get a chance to play it because the demo actually only did... You only could play online with people, so I kept trying to play it with somebody, but again, 360's dead. But, you know, there's that. That comes out on the 12th. A game I'm really excited about that I don't know if you guys have even heard of is Dark Void.
I have not.
It's basically the Rocketeer in the future as a video game.
Ooh.
It looks amazing. It's like it's jetpack gameplay, and you know, you board ships and destroy them, and you're just fighting crap with you know, laser weapons, and it looks like a crap load of fun. And for me, that's January. There are more games than that coming out, but February has BioShock 2, which, oh my god, I'm so looking forward to. You don't even know. There's Star Trek Online, which I will be playing and I will be, you know, writing about, of course, for the site.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, Dante's Inferno, which basically looks like God of War, but I'll still play it because it looks like a great story. The new Alien vs. Predator game, Splinter Cell Conviction.
And we forgot God of War.
Oh yeah, God of War is coming out in February.
Yep. Oh, is it? Number 3?
God of War 3,
yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. It looks like I'm getting my PlayStation 3 just in time.
And there are more polygons in the Kratos model than there were, like, in God of War 1.
The entire game?
than the entire game.
That is actually one game that I could lay on the couch with my pillow and my Diet Coke and sit back and just watch like it's a movie.
And you don't fall asleep.
And I don't fall asleep.
Well, and speaking of the PS3 games that are coming out, there's a game called MAG, Mag.
It's Mag,
called,
like, yes. Mag. I've heard about
that. That comes out in January, and I'm actually excited to play it, even though I'm not even an online gamer at all. And there's a game called Heavy Rain coming out in February for PS3, which it's gotten a lot of press. I don't know if you guys have even heard of it. Again, it's one of those games that... It's not an action game. It's kind
of
like...
I've heard of it.
It kind of reminds me of a choose-your-own-adventure video game. Because, like, characters can die, and characters can survive. Like, if you play a certain scenario, for example, somebody could die or they could live, and depending on whether they die or not, the game will continue on from there, like in the next chapter with a new character. But I like it because the people that made a game called Indigo Prophecy for the PS2, the Xbox, the PC, which was a great game, I really enjoyed it years ago, are making that one, so I'm excited to play it. And of course, you know, March has Lego Harry Potter for the first 4 years. I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I like the movies and I like the Lego games, so I'll probably play it.
I just want to play a video game where the character is like 11 when he starts and he's 30 when he finishes.
Isn't that Fable?
Yeah, but he doesn't look like Daniel Radcliffe.
True.
But okay.
But yeah, I mean, March has, you know, Final Fantasy 13. Command & Conquer 4, Red Steel 2, which, despite the fact that the first Red Steel sucked hard, Red Steel 2 looks actually really cool. And then Super Street Fighter 4, which
that,
I'm...
It's that whole motion, like, because I have Clone Wars for the Wii.
Yeah.
Because I actually like the TV show, because I'm still, I don't know, 12 at heart. But the motion thing of just, like, flailing your arm about back and forth, and I'm doing it right now. I know nobody can see me, but... And you do that for however long you play. And it's just like if you play for a half an hour, your arm is just dead you know, by the time you're done. So, I don't
know. Probably the only exercise we get.
Well, that's true.
I'm not fat. I'm American.
The thing that is interesting about the game Red Steel 2 is that they've incorporated something called Motion Plus for the Wiimote.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically... You know, I mean, anyone who's played a Wii knows that it's not the most responsive thing. I mean, you'll do a downward motion and the guy's sword will go down, but it won't actually mimic what you're doing.
Right.
The Motion Plus technology, and I've never used it, mind you, but I just know about it and I've seen demonstrations. If you swing your sword, like if you do like a figure eight movement with your hand, it'll actually do a figure eight movement in the game.
Ooh.
The thing that really excites me about that, other than Red Steel 2, is the new Legend of Zelda that they're going to make for the Wii is going to have that capability. And you all know how much of a whore I am for the Zelda games.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh yeah, I'm right there with you with Zelda.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a huge, cool. huge fan.
That's the reason I got the Wii to begin
yeah.
with.
You know what? We did too, and we never got Twilight Princess.
Oh,
that was like the second best game of the series. I thought.
I know.
My brother had Twilight Princess. I just bought the Wii so I can go ball it and take it from him.
There you go.
All right. Who was it?
Huh?
Oh, who was it that was saying they didn't get into the Twilight Princess? Oh, it was a friend of mine that I'm now no longer friends with. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, he's like, I played it before. And I'm like, you played it before? He's like, yeah, I played all the Zelda games before, so it just felt like the same. I'm like, how does it feel like the same? It's like playing, I don't know, it's like eating, you know, dog food and then going like, oh yeah, I ate this dog food before, even though you're eating friggin' filet mignon. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
But whatever. I think that's it for me for the upcoming games.
Okay, well, okay, now we've got to get to, you know, what H2MMO is about, which is apparently reviewing video games and not MMOs at all. Because we have a little focus problem.
do you want to put this in as a second recording or no?
I don't know. We're going to see what happens. So
okay.
We're going to keep going. So the MMO shop talk. Big question here for Trish. Where the hell is Ion?
You know, I don't know.
Because you downloaded it.
No, I actually bought the game.
Yeah, bought it. Downloaded the beta. Destroyed our bandwidth.
Yes. And awesome graphics. Just too much wanting to be wow.
And I mean, a lot of people jumped on board. Who has anybody else played Ion?
No.
Wow, okay.
People that have been playing World of Warcraft for years want something different. Ion's going to be it. Let's get on here and do it. And it was...
2 months later, it was like nowhere.
Yes. Everybody was back on World of Warcraft.
And this is why. Patch 3.3 released, which is the Fall of the Lich King. Mm-hmm. They introduced 3 new dungeons, but they weren't regular dungeons. Early on, when Wrath first released, the dungeons that came out were, the 70 to 80 range, depending on where you were. And then the heroics, of course, were 80 level range, and they all dropped item level 200 gear. And if you wanted better than that, you had to go into a raid. With patch 3.0, or earlier, before patch 3.3, somebody's echoing. Sweetheart, is that you?
I don't hear anything.
Neither do I.
What happened, they released the Trial of the Champion, that dungeon and those raids, and that dungeon dropped to level 200 gear, and then on Heroic it dropped 219. So with this patch, they dropped 3 new dungeons into the game, a new raid, and the gear starts at 219 on normal and goes up to 232 on Heroic. And what happened is they've been tinkering with the badge system since it first came out in Burning Crusade. And so now what happens is when you go and you kill a boss in a heroic, you get an emblem of whatever. And so they tinker with these every now and then. They'll release a patch and then they'll just upgrade the badges that the bosses drop. So you started out with badges of heroism. And then it went to... or emblems of heroism, then it went to emblems of conquest, and then now they're up to emblems of triumph. And so what it is that if you're a small guild and all you do is run dungeons, which is a lot like our guild, you can actually pick up decent gear just by doing what you've been doing. And it gives you a good springboard into, you know, raid content and other stuff. And they put in the new dungeon finder system. So, if you haven't played WoW, the Dungeon Finder system is like the Battlegrounds. Battlegrounds covers 5 realms. The Dungeon Finder covers the same 5 realms in your battle group, and you can pug a dungeon with people without ever leaving your current location. Say you're at the auction house, you go into the Dungeon Finder, you put yourself in, you select whether you're a tank, a healer, or a DPS, and when it assembles the group in anywhere from... 10 seconds to, 10 minutes, it'll assemble a group for you, and it will teleport you to a dungeon. You do your dungeon, you get your badges, you come, and when you teleport out of the dungeon, you come right back to the place that you were when you started. And people have been hitting this so hard. I have to cough. Thanks for somebody picking up while I was coughing.
Now, I will say, I mean, let me interrupt you for a minute in Ion's defense, that for people that haven't played World of Warcraft or didn't get into it the way we do, the game is pretty good. The graphics are great. You get wings at level 10. You know, and the...
But you can't fly. You can just glide.
Yes.
Which is a kind of a letdown.
Yes, and I'm sure they will fix that.
Well, supposedly they have the best endgame PvP with the Abyss of any MMO out there right now. But I don't know if that one selling point is going to be enough for them to build a niche.
Well, I made it to level 12, and that's...
Yeah, I didn't make it that far. Okay, so that's what's going on in WoW. Everybody is just pugging the hell out of everything. If you don't know what a pug is, that's a pickup group. And they were notoriously horrible. And they've gotten a lot better with this Dungeon Finder thing, because you can get in... If you're under-geared DPS, you can get into a group of Uber people, and they will just carry you along, because they're all doing these random dungeons for these random dungeon awards. You know, you get gold and emblems and whatnot, and then the new base level of gear in World of Warcraft, like, the new base level is, you know, 187 when you get 80 and you run normal dungeons, and then you get some 200 stuff, but you start getting these badges, and you just kind of jump from 200 to 232. So it's all taken a big leap forward.
And it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, and it does not stop there. What's coming up, Brett? You talked about Star Trek Online, and then, of course, there's the whole, you know, point to this, all this, you know, how-to MMO stuff is Star Wars. So let's talk about that. Are you guys there? Brett?
Brett, you still there?
I'm here.
Did we lose Brett?
No, I'm he's here. There. Yeah. He was playing a video game.
Yeah. No, you couldn't hear me?
No.
No.
We can now.
Okay. I guess that explains why. Yeah, okay. Star Trek, you know, it's interesting because, you know, they let you create your own race if you don't want to pick one of the preconceived races. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. Star Trek fans are probably going to be pissed off because, you know, they like their continuity. Mm-hmm. Granted, the Star Wars universe has a huge continuity and everything's actually set to be in continuity, unlike Star Trek, where sometimes they'll just do something that completely conflicts with something else. But as far as I know, I'm not really a huge Trekkie. But it's cool because each character gets their own ship. I guess maybe to start off with, I don't really know. But you also have the option of joining your friends on their ship and picking out a job there or a position. And of course, my friends and I have been talking about doing that and getting on one person's ship, and we all have our roles picked out already.
Well, but isn't there going to be, like, in WoW, you have the dungeons, they're going to have space combat where you're going to have five ships, and one of them is going to be a tank role.
Yes.
To hold the threat or the aggro from the monster or your opponent, whatever you're fighting. You're going to have three DPSers. Yeah, a Borg, a giant cube. And then you're going to have a science guy who's going to buff and replenish your shields, basically heal.
Yeah.
You know, from back behind your line of attack.
I guess that's a good point.
That sounds... I don't know. That sounds pretty damn nifty to me.
Yeah. And I like the idea of going on... You know, you go on away missions still. They have, you know, a lot of things like that. I don't know if there's a lot of variety. There wasn't in the beta, from what I heard. A friend of mine's actually been in the beta, in the closed beta.
The big joke is that in WoW, you know, you go up to somebody and they say, hey, go kill, 8 zebras and bring me 8 zebra hoofs. And in Star Trek... They're going to do that, and you're going to be like, okay, and you're going to transport down to the planet, you're going to set your phaser on disintegrate, you're going to shoot 8 zebras, get your 8 zebra things all in one go, and then transport back up to the ship and go, okay, what's next? So I don't know how they're going to handle that. But, yeah, okay, anyway, I just tickled myself.
Well,
you shouldn't be doing that on the podcast time, just saying.
Okay, I'll try to stop. I'll try to refrain myself. But, yeah, so they're questing. I guess they said that they were going to do episodes to make it like the TV show.
Oh, wow.
That I'm not sure about, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that sure puts a crimp in the whole, you know, collect 8 zebra hoofs.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea, though.
You never heard that one?
No, I hadn't. I mean, I'm not saying it's not common knowledge, but I'm not. I don't remember ever hearing that.
Eric, H2MMO's missing man.
Yeah.
Had talked
he sure
about
did a lot.
That. Oh, we should have called him on the Skypes.
Yeah, he's busy throwing up his own guts or something.
Okay. And the last thing, of course, that we want to talk about today is Star Wars The Old Republic. BioWare, this game is currently in development. It's scheduled for release late in 2010. And WoW is, of course, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And, you know, much like Mike Tyson and all of the boxers that tried to, you know, take his belt away from him and then the ones that eventually succeeded, people are looking at, you know, Blizzard and WoW, and then they're looking at BioWare and then Star Wars, and they're just they're hoping for something new and different. And of course, it's the Star Wars universe. It's well established. It takes place 3,600 years before the events in the movie. So unlike that other crazy Star Wars MMO that was released where you couldn't be a Jedi, you couldn't be the coolest thing in the lore.
Actually, you could.
After they well. Patches and everything else, that game.
Star War Galaxies.
Anyway, we know what it is. We're not gonna comment. ..
My first MMO. Thank you.
That was where you lost your MMO virginity.
Yes, actually, no. The Sims Online, but we won't discuss that.
Oh, I remember that game. Oh, that game was interesting.
It was fun.
So for Star Wars The Old Republic, you actually have two factions. You've got the Republic and the Sith Empire. They just announced recently all of their classes. They had been releasing them, you know, bit by bit as they had developed them. They've finished. We've got all of their classes out there. I'm assuming the game is still in development and it's going to go into a closed beta sometime soon, because they already have that a sign-up available on their website. For the Republic side, who do we have on the Republic side?
To be fair, they've had the sign-up for the beta for months.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And I haven't heard anything about a closed beta yet, but yeah.
But, on the Republic side, we have the Republic Trooper, which is what I want to be. I don't know why I want to be a Republic Trooper, but I do. I want to blast people. And have you seen the sticky grenade? Oh,
yes.
My God. That's what I use in Borderlands. I use the sticky grenade mod. And so when I've got some, you know, a bruiser coming at me with a bazillion hit points, I just throw 3 grenades at him, and they stick to his chest and explode. How much cooler can that... awesome. So they've got the Republic Trooper. They've got the Smuggler, which is your Han Solo type. They've got the Jedi Knight, and then the Jedi Consular. So those are the 4 classes on the Republic side. On the Sith side, we have, let's go counterpoint. The Bounty Hunter is the counterpoint to the Republic Trooper. The Sith Agent is the counterpoint to the Smuggler. He's kind of a sniper guy.
The Sith Warrior, yeah.
The Sith Agent is the counterpoint to the Smuggler. The Sith Warrior is the counterpoint to the Jedi Knight. He's the melee lightsaber fighty dude. And then the Sith Inquisitor is the counterpoint to the Jedi Consular. And the Consular and the Inquisitor are more force power people. So I don't know how they're going to do the roles, if they're even going to do roles. I know that in some of the videos that we've seen, they've talked about doing epic combat, where you go in against 8 people and blast away and win. You certainly can't do that in WoW when you're first starting out. That's a recipe for a quick run back from the graveyard. So I don't know, and we don't know if they're going to have roles. But they've got some videos up, some short videos. They've got some different information on their website, and I'm looking forward to it. And right now it looks like everybody wants to play Sith. So we'll do that if that's what everybody decides. But I'm still going to have a secret Republic trooper off on the side.
I think the majority of us wanted to play Sith, but I there were a few people that wanted to play Republic, and I'm definitely pushing for Republic.
But, yeah, me too. So we'll see what happens. What might happen though is that we'll just get the same group of people playing on both sides, just on different nights or whatever, and getting the full feel of the game when it first comes out, because it'll be something we can take our time with. I mean, WoW has lasted, years and years and years, and hopefully this will too, and it'll give us, something new and interesting and different to chew on. So, but that's it. I'm done. I've got nothing else.
Wow, Mike does nothing to say. That's amazing.
I want to go play video games.
I'm probably gonna go take a trip to that store that we spoke of earlier that is a stop for games, and I'll probably look for a new game to play because I have 3 days off and nothing to do.
Pick up a magazine.
Well, I have the subscription to them, to their magazine. Yeah.
Well, I know it's a long slog, but if you wanted to come over here and hang out or whatever, I don't care.
I'm contemplating it, actually. We'll see. We'll talk about that later. But
okay.
Once the recording's done.
All right. Well, everybody, we keep breaking the fourth wall. We're gonna have to work on that. Anyway, this is like I said at the top of the show, this has been a test of the emergency podcast system. If it had been an actual emergency, we probably would have had higher production values. but since it isn't, we don't. If you want to get in contact with any of us, my name is Mike B. I'm the editor for H2MMO, and I use that term loosely. Trish B. is the blog administrator. Brett S. is our lead blogger. And Brandon Y. is a fellow game aficionado. If you want to send an email to any of us, you can at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com, and then you can check out all of our reviews on h2mmo.com. So thanks for listening. Anybody got anything before we go?
No, just have a great 2010. No. Happy gaming.
Everybody say goodbye.
It's going to be a big year.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to break in and let you know that the music that you've heard during this podcast is Blind Monkeys. You can read more about them at blindmonkeys.com. That's blindmonkeys, MONKEEZ.com. We want to thank Michael Campana and all the members of Blind Monkeys for allowing us to use their music for this podcast. She likes to hear. Yeah. Head on down to drop in. We just hit the full sin. We play my cards, aces high. She likes game.